What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, as we do every week at this time. Corey, what's going on, my man?
Oh, you know, a little.
A little bit.
Pandemic. Yeah, yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
What have you, like, what was your weekend like without no sports? I know we're going on like 10, 11 days now with like no sports whatsoever. What did you do over the weekend?
Well, you know, this will sound strange probably, but I'm generally off on Fridays and Saturdays. And I try to dedicate those to family as much as possible, all the time. So I don't usually have a ton of sports on Friday and Saturdays, as it is. So it's not that much. I was on vacation actually last week, so I was home with the family all week, and we have a 7-year-old, and we've been self quarantining. So there's been a lot of entertaining a 7-year-old.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That sounds like a fun time to me.
That's a lot of work.
So are you, Corey, are you finding yourself, you know, sort of, you know, maybe letting her watch like movies that maybe you wouldn't have before the pandemic? Like I find myself a little bit like, well, maybe it's okay for them to watch this or, you know, things like that. Or you're not there yet.
Well, you know, Mom and I have different versions of what we think it's okay for her to watch. But really she hasn't asked to watch anything like that. She you know what she wants to watch all the time, nonstop? Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
She loves Naked and Afraid. And so we watch Naked and Afraid all the time.
I don't know that one. Is it good?
Two people dropped off in a jungle or somewhere, an island, completely naked for 3 weeks. They've got to find a way to survive.
Oh, it's always like a reality show type.
Yeah,
game show.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
they each get like one or two tools. So generally, it's like two naked people with like a machete, a pot, and they have to like build shelters for themselves. They all lose like 20 pounds because they barely eat. It's misery, but she's completely enamored with it. So we watch it a lot.
Okay.
Corey, we've been talking a lot about Jadeveon Clowney here on the show ever since Jarrell Casey was traded last week. And obviously, there's been reports out there that Clowney is seeking maybe even around $20 million per season. If you're the Titans and you have interest in Jadeveon Clowney, how would you evaluate what his value is? And what's kind of that number that you would say, all right, that's too much, I can't go that high?
Well, $20 million is a lot. And I guess you're worth what somebody's willing to pay you. And I think Greg Bell from the paper in Tacoma reports that the Seattle Seahawks are offering him $18.5 million a year in a multi-year deal. And if I were him, I would take it. And I like Jadeveon Clowney. I think, you know, his sack numbers aren't Von Miller. They aren't Khalil Mack. You know, he's never had double-digit sacks in a season, but I think he's a good player. But I think he's worth $20 million a year? No, I don't. And so, you know, you like him because do I think he makes the Titans better? Yeah, I do. But you can't sink your whole operation by overpaying a guy. And so, you know, it comes down to the Titans, you know, how much are you willing to bite off? And if you don't get him, what's plan B? Because, you know, you did trade away Jarrell Casey, and he did have the ability to, you know, Jarrell may not have had huge sack numbers, But Jarrell played a lot of the football game behind the line of scrimmage. He was a very disruptive player. And so, you know, you've got to be able to replace that disruption, especially with Dean Pease gone. You know, my whole thought behind bringing in a guy like Jadeveon Clowney is mainly this. Dean Pease is able to draw up pressure. He's able to disguise defense. He's able to dial up pressure regardless of really who he's got on the field. I mean, you remember when they played the Saints, Derek Roberson had 2 sacks.
Yeah.
We saw Logan Ryan. What did Logan Ryan have, like 6 sacks last year? 4.5, 6 sacks, something like that.
Yeah.
So he could get pressure somewhere else. Well, you know, we like Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's, I think he's a good head coach, but he's not Dean Pease. And he may recognize he's not Dean Pease. And he may recognize that the X's and O's, you know, may not be quite as strong without Dean Pease. And so the Jimmys and Joes might need to be better to get to the quarterback. And, you know, if the Jimmys and Joes to get to the quarterback are better, then you can absorb a little bit more on the back end as well. At the defensive back position. So they might be investing more heavily on guys who can hit the Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watsons of the world.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Corey, you know, the 3 sack thing, I mean, you have to have more context than that. I mean, like you said, I mean, interior, you know, defensive linemen are not judged on numbers, really, right? I mean, Ndamukong Suh had some sack numbers some years, but other years he didn't, but he was still as dominant as anyone because he would, you know, he'd cave in the offensive line every snap. And I'm not saying that's Clowney, but he makes it easier for other guys. I guess the question really is, you know, what is that number? You would think that Vrabel would certainly have a strong feeling for his value.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's the thing. Vrabel was his position coach and defensive coordinator for a year. And that's one of the reasons I thought the Titans have been after him for a couple of years, or at least eyeing him for a couple of years. Because I think they know exactly what he can do for them. You know, he's a big body. You know, do they stand him up as an outside linebacker, or do they put him down? I mean, I just think they play him a lot like they played Arakpo and Morgan. And so he can really set the edge. And you're right, the sack numbers are the sack numbers, and he had, I think he's had 9 twice, and I think he's had 8. I mean, but he can also set the edge, you know, but he is a disruptive player. I mean, I think he had 4 forced fumbles last year, 2 fumble recoveries and an interception. You know, he's a guy who can make plays. And, you know, so I think, you know, there is value there. It's determining, you know, how much that value is. How much did Dante Fowler get? Like $16 million a year?
Yeah.
You know, it would be hard for me to give him much more than that. And I think the other part of Greg Bell's story is that the Jets and Titans were each offering him 1-year deals between like $13.5 million and $15.5 million a year. And that 15 to kind of $17 million number makes more sense to me. So if he's being offered $18.5 million, I think he should take it.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. And Corey, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you since Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh,
how surprised were you that Tampa Bay was the destination? And does that change the way you view the Titans' decision to go and pick Ryan Tannehill in this discussion now that we know for a fact that Brady was leaving New England?
Well, number one, I thought he was leaving New England. So, I mean, that confirmed that. Now, I thought he was going to be joining the Titans. So I was wrong about that. I thought the Bucs were a possibility because Jameis was gone and they have weapons. I thought going into last year that the Bucs were a team with a lot of weapons, and they are. And if they don't turn the football over 30-plus times, you know, they're going to win a lot of football games. And I think Bruce Arians is a good coach. So I think there's a lot of reasons that decision makes sense for him. But Jared Stillman, you know, told me, you know, Friday, and I agree with him that, you know, the big thing that stands out is the Titans picked Ryan Tannehill over him. Because I think if the Titans really wanted Tom Brady, they would have got him. And so, you know, that's what stands out to me is, you know, what they saw from Ryan Tannehill and the time that they had him made them, you know, not just want him more than Tom Brady, but, you know, paying him more than Tom Brady. And so, you know, they're going to roll with 17, and, you know, we'll see if he can duplicate what he did last year and more.
Well, you're a big fan poll guy, Corey. I see you doing that on Twitter. Give me your feeling for what percentage of this Titans fan base then will look at this differently, or I guess be judgmental, based on how Brady does versus how Tannehill does. You know, if they could have had Brady and they shunned him, how many people feel differently about it?
That's a good question, because, you know, people who go on social media tend to be the more vocal group.
Right.
So there's a lot of people who get on there who, you know, just are vehemently against a guy. And there's a lot of people who are vehemently against Brady because he was a Patriot or because of Deflategate, not because he wasn't a great player. And then, you know, I think in the South it tends to be a little bit different. There's more of an allegiance and more of a loyalty towards certain guys and certain teams, you know, the us versus them mentality. And so I think there's a lot of people who stuck with Ryan Tannehill through this process because he was our guy. So no matter what, you're going to stick with, he was our guy. I mean, you know, people would throw up, you know, his numbers against Brady's from last season. And I'm like, okay. And Brady threw for 4,000 yards, and he's got 6 Super Bowl rings, and Tannehill's got none. So if you want to throw up statistics, they really don't work for you in this argument. But listen, I understand bringing back Tannehill. I do. You had 2 good choices to make. I think the only way there's any real not signing Brady blowback is if the Bucs go and win the Super Bowl. And if the Bucs go and win the Super Bowl and Brady, you know, leads the way, then you'll have, 33% of the fan base going, oh my gosh, we totally should have gone and done that. But I think most of them, you know, unless Tannehill is just terrible, are going to, you know, understand rolling with their guy. I don't think it'll be awful unless the Bucks go out and win it all. Then it'll be a little bit tougher to swallow.
Corey, last thing for you real quick. We've been talking about the Titans potentially bringing back Logan Ryan. Now that we know that Jack Conklin is gone, Jarrell Casey is gone, how much of a priority should bringing Logan Ryan back be for the Titans?
Well, how much space do they have left?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, if they don't bring in Jadeveon Clowney, then I think it becomes a lot bigger priority because you need a lot more on the back end. You know, the other thing is, you know, they've got a lot of leadership on this team that just walked out the door with Marcus Mariota, Delanie Walker, and Jarrell Casey. You know, those are all veterans who pulled this team out of the abyss and are gone. And so now you're looking at a lot of other guys having to step up, and Logan Ryan being gone would be another big leader. I'm gone. I don't think you pay guys because you need a leader, but I think that can be a part of the reason you pay guys. So, you know, I think the fortunate thing for them is I think the market for Logan has dried up some. So his leverage in negotiating has gone down some. But can they fit him? Can they bring in, if Clowney does want to sign for $15, $16 million a year, can they still bring Logan back? Could they afford it? That's the big question, because they don't have a ton of moves left to create cap space outside of releasing Malcolm Butler or restructuring somebody's contract. You know, I think they very well could go. You know, the nice thing about signing Dennis Kelly, and if you did bring in Jadeveon Clowney, is that alleviates your need in round one for a tackle or for an edge rusher. You could use that number one on a corner, and they could still use the number one on a corner. So they've got that leverage as well.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Corey, thanks so much for joining us as always, and hope you and your family stay safe during this time.
All right, you guys stay safe too. Have a good 4 hours. If you need me, I'll be here.
All right, sounds good, my man.
We might take you up on that now.
No, that's what I'm saying. I will be here. I'm working from home for as long as it's going to take.
Appreciate you, Corey. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Hey, bud.
When we come back, we'll react to more of what Corey had to say there. And also, how much pressure is on Corey Davis this year for the Titans? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky. And America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.